So we left off with a bomb question in our sugya. How could the Gemara entertain the possibility that Cheskas or Baduk, even if those facts are correct, and even if it's a statistical probability that the person probably did the Dikas Chametz, how could you rely on such a rov? After all, isn't that a rov HaTalda B'Maisa? And we all know from Maseches Bechoras that rov HaTalda B'Maisa is not acceptable. So we spent an hour yesterday just fine-tuning the question. We didn't get anywhere near an answer yet. We just spent an hour understanding the question. Are those facts correct? Is that premise correct? That a rov HaTalda B'Maisa is not acceptable? So the Gemara Bechoras said it very clearly. Man, it's a little bit of a joke. Very clearly. According to Ravina, very clearly, but not according to Rava. The Gemara Yevamos completely ignored it. And we had three different bureaus in the Rishonim, what was going on in the Gemara Maseches Yevamos. And when all the dust settled, we were convinced yesterday that at least some Rishonim, most notably the Ramban, would pose this question in Esugya. If we were sitting in the Ramban's yeshiva, so the Ramban would be bothered with this kashim and learning Pesach, but the Ramban was the biggest believer of Rav HaTalda B'Maisa not being acceptable. Rashi, Rav Haigon, of Shiyodine, maybe and maybe no. So we're going to throw them in for good luck, or we're going to ask the question anyway, but in the back of our minds we know that even if it's just for the Ramban, Dayenu. So basically, what's the beginning of an answer to this question? So there is a comment of the Taz, Inuchas Malicha in Yerodeya, I hope everyone got a chance to see the Taz. I'm going to jump ahead in my Makamas. Okay, good. So there is a comment of the Taz, Inuchas Malicha, a very, very famous Taz, Inuchas Malicha. In the old days, Malicha used to be a requirement for Y.S. Micha. Even in my day, Malicha was a requirement. In my day, Shechita was a requirement, Malicha was a requirement. In my father's day, even Treifus was a requirement. I always love to look at my father's, I have my father's Yerodeya still, and he has underlines and notes and asterisks and questions on Shachs and Taz and Nuchas Treifus. Part of Shulchan Aruch, I never opened up my entire life. I remember I was once standing by Kapparos, and somebody came up to me with the Shiloh on the chicken. They thought maybe they had broken the leg or something of the chicken in Kapparos. They said, Rabbi, quick, tell me the answer to Shai Nuchas Treifus. To which I responded, I don't have a clue, because it's not on the YU syllabus, so I don't have to know what it means. Yeah. So Rabbi say, he talked to Enuchas Malich, the Taz discussed the following Shaila. We all know, the Halacha tells us, the Pasuk tells us, in Israel Bechilas Dam, and there are only two ways of removing Dam from a behemoth. One is through Malicha, one is through salting the meat properly, and the other is through roasting the meat. If you put the meat in open fire and you roast it barbecue, then there's no need to salt it. These are Dvarim Pshutim, these are Sugyas, Dafa Blam, those who learned the Chulun last year. So these are Sugyas in the end of Perkel Abosar. Either Malicha or Tzli are the two ways to get rid of Dam. Now the Malicha process is a fairly long process. There are actually three different parts of the Malicha process. There's what's called Hadacha Rishayna. Before you salt the meat, you have to actually wash the meat, which is the big Machlekes of Rishayna. Why is that so? Either because you're washing off some of the dirt to enable the Malicha to work, or perhaps you're softening the meat, maybe you're washing off some of the excess blood, whatever the case may be. It requires Hadacha. Then it requires to sit in salt for X amount of time. And then it requires Hadacha Shniya to get off all the remaining salt with all the remaining blood. So there's a whole long, long process of Hadacha, Malicha, and Hadacha in order for the meat to be kosher. So the Taz says the following Shaila. A woman comes crying to the Taz, Yomadeinu Rabbeinu, I have a piece of meat. I cooked it. It's all ready for dinner. And for the life of me, I cannot remember, did I kasher it or not? I push it, don't remember. Did I do Malicha? Did I not do Malicha? What's the din? So if I were to ask this question to you, you would say, what? You're not sure you did Malicha? You're not sure whether you're eating Dam? Dam's in a derisa, gavalt, geshrigan, terrible. So the Taz says, relax. It's not so geshrigan, not so terrible. You know why? For two reasons, says the Taz. First of all, we're not dealing with Nisa Derais here anyway. We're only dealing with Nisa Derabbanan. Why is that? Because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos, the Dam Shebishlai Eino Eiver Alav. Although there's Nisa Derais in the blood, but if you cook the blood first, yummy yummy, if you cook the blood first, then there's no Nisa Derais. So why not? Because the Yisr of Dam is part of the picture of Zrikas Adam Agabi HaMizbeach. And Dam Shebishlai is not royal lekach to be brought Agabi HaMizbeach. And therefore, the mayor of the Yisadam in Atarah doesn't apply. So if you think about it, what that basically means is the entire institution of salting meat that we practice today is not really required by the Torah itself. Because in Atarah, I could take the meat and just cook it up. And once I cook it, mainly, even if the blood's there, it's only going to be Dam Shebishloi, which is not really a problem in Atarah. It's only Nosam in the Rabbanan. So the whole institution, lock, stock, and barrel of our kashri meat today since we are going to cook the meat anyway, we are very E. coli sensitive kinds of people, so we don't want to end up with some serious kinds of food poisoning. So we're going to cook our meat anyway. So our meat and our blood will always, by definition, be dam shebishlay. So meila, the whole soul thing is on a requirement of the Rabbanu. So therefore, the Taz says you can just hide behind safek dabar lekula. You don't remember whether you did malicha. 50-50 chance whether you did, maybe you didn't. It's like the Gemara says in Brachas Tachaf Aleph, if you have a mitzvah derabanan and you don't remember whether you did it, safek derabanan lekula. So here we have a safek yisa derabanan. Let's say the mashal, I have a piece of chicken, and I don't know whether the Jew cooked it or the non-Jew cooked it. So is it bishalachim or not? So the shachak, the basket, you're there. Safek bishalachim lekula. Bishalachim is on the smicha syllabus now, because that you really have to know. Treifus you're not going to have to know, but bishalachim you have to know. You have to know treifus also because it's part of a Kodesh Brachos Torah, but you don't need it to pass the wire smicha. It's fine. So Rabbi said, yeah.
It's a suffix whether you did the mitzvah derabanan of malicha, or it's a
suffix. It's not a mitzvah derabanan. It's not a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. Zah Shekin Shem, it says, first do malicha. It's just that that's the method to avoid the issa derabanan of Achilles Dam.
Achilles Dam is also derabanan.
Dam Shabishal is also derabanan. Yeah. Dam is also derabanan, yeah. So comes the Taz and says, we could probably just hide behind suffix derabanan of Kulon Kulon of the day. If that's all the Taz would have said, Dayenu, we would have been very happy, but he says much, much more than that. Comes to Taz and says, you know, it could be, even if we're dealing with the Deraisa, and I'll tell you a secret, the Rasa Mishanim who Paskid Dam Shabishal is also Minat Torah. Not everyone agrees to what I just said, the Gemara Menachah says. The Gemara, one stage says Dam Shabishal is Derabanim, it's not 100% sure that that's the Maskon, and that's the way we really Paskin. So even if you want to play devil's advocate, the Dam Shabishal is also Midaraisa, we could still be matter in this case of the Suffolk Malicha for the following reason. It says the Taz, it's not a Suffolk Malicha. The rove is that the woman probably did the Malicha. Why is there a rove? So the Taz makes reference to a Gemara in Maseches Brachas. But the Gemara develops the idea that people act in a habitual manner, that's a rove. People are creatures of habit. They tend to do what they're used to doing. So, you know, how often do we do things without thinking? You know, we just, it's like if you would ask me, you know, when I drive from here to Washington, the good old days when I used to drive to Washington Heights. So, I can do it in my sleep. I've been doing it for 25 years, almost 25. I do it in my sleep. If you'd stop me and ask me, where are you on Route 4? I wouldn't even be gyrus. Not because I'm texting and driving, not because I'm doing it there. Just, you know, that's kachaza. Person is habitual. That's where, you know, every once in a while, if you're going somewhere different, you know, ever happened to you? You're driving somewhere different. You're going the basic same route and then you're bailing out somewhere else. You will, unless you're paying attention, you'll end up end up in the wrong place. So comes the Taz and says, there's Gemara Brachas that expresses this in the following din, vis-a-vis Kriya Shema. Person saying Shema with such unbelievable intense kavana, and so intense kavana, he doesn't even know what he's up to. And he gets to the Pasuk, and he's scratching his head and he has absolutely no idea, is he in the first parasha or in the second parasha? He doesn't know. He has no clue which one he's up to. The Gemara says that if he continued Leman Yibu Yamechem, then most probably he's in the second parasha. Because even though he wasn't thinking, almost like subconsciously, Sirche Nochet V'Yozul. That means that's the derech. If he's already rolling into the next words, that he could assume, even though we can't swear for sure that he's really finished the second parasha, maybe still in the first parasha, but if he was in the first parasha, somehow he wouldn't have continued on that role of Leman Yibu Yamechem. As I state in the Gemara Brachas. So the Taz says, you see that Chazal, they asked the psychologist, they evaluated what the facts are, and then they formulated this rite of Sirche Nochet, that people are creatures of habit. Says the Taz, every Jewish woman knows, at least back in Poland, knows that what do? You have a chicken and you want to eat it. What do? There's a procedure. You've been doing this since you were 3 years old. You bring the chicken to the sheikh. The sheikh shechs it for you. He gives it back to you. You go home. You fill up your bucket with water. You throw your chicken in to soak for the chavishana. You take it out. You put it into salt and you have it sit there for an hour in the salt. You take it out, wash it again, and then you put it onto the fire. Every Jewish girl, every Jewish woman, they didn't have to go to Bais Yaakov of Krakow to know this. Every Jewish girl knows this. I remember years ago, when I'm sure I told them the story, last year. Years ago when I was in the dorm, So my illustrious roommate, Rabbi Rapp Shlita, was learning Shchita. So we decided to do, he decided to do some Shchitas. So we he shechted a chicken for us. And we decided we're going to kasha the chicken. We'll do some Malicha 101, we're going to kasha the chicken. We had no idea how to do it. We went to the store, remember? We bought ourselves a, you know, you have to get a, you know, a draining board, and get the grub of salt, the kosher soil, a whole chagadja. And then we're reading the directions on the back of the box of kosher salt. What do you do? So Rabbi Rapp decided he's going to forget the box. He's going to call his grandmother. So he called his grandmother up. His grandmother was a Yaki. She came from Germany. And she said, no problem. I'm going to walk you through koshering meat. And she began to tell him the directions step by step in German. He said to Omar, can you say it in English? She couldn't formulate it in English. Because she had never koshered meat since she arrived from Germany more than 60 years before. So as a young girl, as a teenager, she could kosher meat in her sleep, but she couldn't even say over the steps. She was having trouble formulating the steps in English, but in German, she was fluent, because that every Jewish girl knew how to kosher meat. My grandmother, Alas Shalom, could have koshered meat literally in her sleep. Always told over a very, very moving story, a little harrowing story. That my grandmother was a my grandparents were butchers in Brooklyn. Dr. Berman's parents were customers of my grandparents in the butcher store. So we go back before we even knew each other, before we were both born. So my grandfather was a butcher. My great grandfather was a butcher. And then after my grandfather passed away, the one named after. So my grandmother kept up the business. So she was in charge of kosher. She used to kosher meat. That's what she knew. Half the day she would spend kosher meat and chicken for the customers. So when she was very, very sick at the end of her life, so I was sitting in the Y Bais Medrash, and I was taka learning for smicha, and those were the old days when malicha was still on the Mamakemis. And I was mamash learning the sugyas of malicha. I was mamash in mechaber, amo, shach, taz, learning this malicha, and I got the phone call from my parents that my grandmother just passed away. So I remember I told over later that I felt was so apropos min hashemayim, that here she had spent a good portion of her adult life ala kedusha machalas asuros, making sure that meat was kashered properly for all her customers for so many years, that niyatsa nishmasa b'tahara, that her grandson would be learning the sugyas of malicha, mamash, tasha, so that I have no idea how to kashe meat, but at least I was learning the sugyas in theory, so she knew how to kashe meat better than I did. Anyway, much better than I did. Fine, back to the story. So the Taz says every Jewish girl knows that you kasher meat. So what's the wildest chance that she would have forgotten to? I in the Gemara Bracha, Sirchei Nachaviyos, people are creatures of habit, and therefore, most probably, she did kasher the meat, even though she doesn't remember it. At Kan Devratas. So the Shach has just a ha'ara on the Taz. It's not really part of a sugi, but it's a fascinating, almost like a psychological machlokes. The Shach says that it's Sirchei Nachaviyos also means things that don't take all that much mental exertion. Things that don't take up too much time, like saying Kriya Shema. I mean, come on, between you and me, how long did it take you to say Kriya Shema this morning? Shh. 35 seconds. I mean, okay. Not the big balik kavana over here, right? So, because you woke up late and you started, by the time you get your tefillin on, they're ready up the Yotze Or, so you had to, you know, hit the pedal a little bit. I mean, come on, we're not, it's a little pressure. So it says the Shach, it doesn't take that long to say Kriya Shema. So it's very possible the guy was just in space. He was thinking about, last night's Bikashin here, the night Seder. He couldn't cry. So he forgot which parish he's up to. So it's Nitonle on there that a person is going to forget which parish he's up to. So that's a good spar. Psychologically, we're creatures of habit. Give me a break, says the Shach. It takes you an hour and a half to kasha meat. You forgot what you were doing for an hour and a half. You don't remember getting a bucket. You don't remember filling it up with water. You don't remember putting a piece of meat in. You don't remember soiling it. You don't remember. If you don't remember doing any of those steps, you know what the odds are? Everybody say? You probably didn't do it. So says the Shach, if anything, that Gemara Brachas is the antithesis of what the Taz is trying to bring the proof to. So a very fascinating machlok is Taz the Shach as the interplay of halacha and psychology. We can have a whole Yom Iyun about this. We could have a whole day of, about the interface and interplay. Anytime you want to just name a Yom Iyun, just think of interplay and interface. I'm not sure what the difference between those two things is. And halacha and psychology and the human mind and habitual formings, etc. And there we have machlok the Taz the Shach and Ruchos Malichim. But I don't want to focus on the psychology right now. I want to focus on the following kasha. Who's got a kasha? No, formulate a kasha against the Hele Gitaz. Give me a kasha.
It's
a Rebbe Talib Maisa.
Why did he
The what?
I need Sefer Torah on the Kula if you have Talek Maisa.
No, the Taz is saying the Oidish Lever.
100%.
Each one of these answers would independently work. The Taz is giving you two different stars. He's saying that, first of all, he doesn't even need the Rov. He says it's really a Sefer Torah on the Kula. But you know what? You can argue, maybe it's not a Derabana, maybe it's a Mishmish Derabana. You know, you can come with a, someone's Yesh Tabal Din Lachlai. So the Taz likes to cover himself on all bases. So Taz writes, I'm going to give you two independently valid reasons why this meat is kosher. So I'm not arguing the first reason. I believe that's only Derabana. I'm okay with that. I'm questioning the second answer. The second Mahalach of the Taz, to invoke the principle of Rovah Tadim Din Maisa, I'm sorry, of a Rov, I ruined it, I killed that one. To invoke the principle of Rov, that most probably people follow what the habits are, is very questionable. Because l'chora, that's a rov, a talib b'maisa. And a rov, a talib b'maisa, should be problematic. L'chora, that's a bomb kasha. L'chora, it's a big kasha. The emes is, it's really a kasha, not really against the Taz. It's a kasha against who? What? It was against the Gemara brothers also, because the Taz is just quoting the Gemara. You want to psychologically argue with the Taz and say that this is different because it's a long ma'isa. I got it. That's the Shachsteiner. But we're not even going down that route. We have a friendly member of the Shia now. It's called the Chipmunk. Some Gilgal, some Talmud who didn't come to Shiva on time, so he came back to join us. Okay? I saw a few of them floating around here. It's always nice. I think we should have a hike and just take the Yeshiva out to some campsite for the next 6 months. It would be beautiful. Okay. A little chilly. Okay. So Rabbi Isai, how do you deal with Rova Talib Maisa here? The Taz is clearly Rova Talib Maisa, no question about it. There's a rove whether you salted the meat. So comes one of the Gedalia Chareinim and you're there, the Yad Avram, those who were able to decipher the small print of the Yad Avram. Those who are under the age of 40 may have a fighting chance. Those only above the age of 40 don't even try. The Yad Avram has the following suggestion. He actually raises this question. He asks this question. He says, Rova Talib Maisa is not a good rove. It's Gemara Bechayr, it's not a good rove. Yevamos, Ramah, it's not a good rove. But, look there, like Abi Didim Derabonon, the standards are lower. And even if for whatever reason you don't say Sefer Torah Lekula, which is always questionable, even Zal Zayin, that's true, and there are some cases here and there we don't say Sefer Torah Lekula, but we are going to accept a Rova Talib Maisa vis-a-vis Dinim Derabonon. And that must be Pshat in the Taz. Says the Yad Avram, how can I say such a thing? Just me, that's me. Like, what gives me the authority, gives me the right to make such a sweeping statement that, no, it's okay, Rova Talib Maisa is a good for Dinim Derabonon. Like, Mehechat Taisei? I need a mocker, but he said, give me a Gemara. Zokhid of Dalit. Zokhid, let's all say it together. With the rice of Vitabi Amasagi. Because comments is only with the Rabbanon. Since because comments is only the Rabbanon, that explains why we're going to let you get away with the Rabbat Talib Maisa. And that's the beer in the Shita Zataz. Adkan Divrei Yad Avram. I mean, it takes him 10 lines to say it. I just said it in one quick sentence. So basically, what do you think about this Yad Avram? It sounds like an arbitrary answer. I mean, he's got an interesting Raif Magamara, but there are probably other answers to Magamara. It sounds almost arbitrary here. I mean, make up your mind. Either a Rabbi Talib Maisa is good or it's no good. If it's good, it should be good Lagamara, even if they're Raif. If it's no good, like Mehechatei says, the standard should be lower. Like, it's hard for us to make up standards. Svegi the Raif, Lachomer, Svegi the Banakru, those are Mishnayas, those are Gemaras, we can't argue with that. But for us to make up and play a game and say, this robe is kind of good, maybe good, a little bit good, Lagabi the Rabbanu Ziyah, Lagabi the Raif says, no. What's the source for this idea? How did Chazal know this? Like, what's the rationale for this idea?
Didn't we see only the first answer of the Taz was
Yeah. So I'm playing you a little bit with this Taz. Yeah, I'm playing with this Taz. The Taz is probably assuming that the whole Dabash Bishul is the Rabbanan, and he's giving you almost like two independent reasons why. Right? Anybody got any better understanding of this? What should conceptually prompt us to accept such a teretz that we're going to lower the standards when we're dealing with the Nisid Rabban? But by saying, whenever you have a halacha that you start to see is limited, it only applies here, doesn't apply here, it's got certain considerations, a shiyah, the name, It's very hard to discuss details unless you understand something basic, fundamental. What's wrong with the Rabbi Talib Maisa? Well, to rephrase the question, how in the world did Ravina know Rabbi Talib Maisa is no good? Who told him that? Who told him that? I don't know. I live past this Mishpatim, and last I checked, it says Echram Lahatas. It has to be Dumya to Beis Din. I mean, come on. We know that whenever you have that model of Beis Din, whenever you have a model in Halacha, you have to be really, really careful before you limit extrapolations. You know, we've given this much like 1,000 times. Aruch HaShabbos, everything has to be like the Mishkan. But not everything. A new Chiddush Aruch HaShabbos. You're only Chayef from Malach and Shabbos if your first name starts with a Beis, because B'tzalel's first name starts with a Beis. Okay, with Aleph and Aliyah also. You're only Chayef Aruch HaShabbos if you turn on a light in a desert. But if it's below 70 degrees, then you're not chayav. The only chayav in Aruch HaShabbos if, I don't know, you have a long white beard like Bezalel. Ridiculous. It's nonsense. These are nonsensical statements. Just because there's a model in Halacha doesn't mean that every single detail of the model has to be mimicked. It means the parts of the model, the characteristics that make sense have to be mimicked. Now, truth to be told, every once in a while we find this Imasek Shabbos is actually a very, very recurring theme in Aruch HaShabbos. But sometimes it's not clear which characteristics of any given malach have to be mimicked and which are not. Let's say, Lamashal, there's a malach of Disha in the Torah. You're not allowed to thresh on Shabbos. It happens to be that the threshing that took place in the Mishkan was with Gedulah Karka. It happens to be that they threshed for the purpose they apply pressure on the Samamonim in order to get out the dog, whatever it was, whatever the threshing that took place in the Mishkan was. Have them in Gedulah Karka. Should I say that Gedulah Karka is an integral part of Malacha's Disha? Or should I say no? Gedulah Karka is about as important as whether your name is Bezalel or not. So that was a Machlag Zataran Magid and Dachachamim. So you have that all the time. Let's say, Lamashal, there's an Issa of carrying on Shabbos. So the Gemara says very clearly in Shabbos and Erevin, it's only an Issa derais if it's Dumi de Mishkan. It has to mimic, has to resemble what the Mishkan looked like. For example, if the streets that you're carrying in are very, very small, they're not 16 amos wide, that's too different from the Mishkan. The Tzur of Rishus Arabim required a certain size of a thoroughfare. It's a little two by nothing, a little path, that's not a Rishus Arabim deraisa. What if you have an area that's a very, very large path, it's a huge metropolis, but it doesn't have 600,000 people in it? Is that important? Is that not important? So that was a big machlek. So Rishonim, machlek Rashi and Rambam, machlek 12 Rishonim against 12 Rishonim. Mishnevur collected 24 Rishonim, we talked about the topic, and 12 on 12. So is that Nekudah of 600,000 people a critical part of the equation, or is that tangential? So this is a common shaila. Whenever you have a model that's given to us in the Torah, you have to always focus what are the key characteristics and what are the tangential characteristics. So here the Torah gives us the model of Rov. What's the model of Rov? Three Dayonim. How much of that model is critical? So I could have said the only time there's a parsha of Rov is when you're dealing with human beings. When you're not dealing with human beings, there's no Rov. So that's clearly not true, because the Gemara says that we derived the parsha of Teisha Chaniyas, 10 stores, 9 selling kosher, 1 selling treif. The source for that is the Haram Mahatma, so clearly that's not important. Is Ruben the Lesa come on? Ruben Disa come on? Are those important characteristics? Did we talk about this yesterday? So 2 days in Rashi. The Gemara clearly thought at the beginning of Chulin that it has to be a Ruben the Isa come on in order to be Maul, or to mimic the parasha of Acharei Lahatas. And then the Gemara may have backed out from that. According to Rashi, the Gemara backs out of that at the end. According to one day in Rashi, the Gemara never backed out. And the Gemara, the ultimate conclusion is that you cannot derive the Ruben Lesa come on. It's too different. The only source for the Leisa come on, according to one opinion, Rashi, is Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. It's a separate Machmer. So again, we see this time and time again in Halacha, that you have a model given to us in Teshuvah B'Chsav, and the Halacha has to mimic that model, but it's very unclear. You have to really understand Torah well. That's what Rabbanim has told. That's what Kipol Mincha Dovel HaMishpah. That's what it means. You have to understand the Amkus of the Halacha very well to understand which characteristics are critical and which are tangential. So, is Rov She'enu Tali B'maisa critical? Is that what Ravina meant? That the Torah is only B'chadish Tasa Rov She'enu Tali B'maisa. Rov Tali B'maisa is very, very different, and therefore you can't derive it from the parasha of Mishpatim. Is that true? It's so different. The difference between a Rov Tali B'maisa versus not a Tali B'maisa is so radically more different than the difference between an animal, the difference between people and pieces of meat. I don't know about that.
Yeah,
So I'm going to go on record with the following suggestion. That maybe the entire institution of a robot of the Maisa being not acceptable is not even a din what? Even if you buy into that Gemara in Maseches Becheiros and you're a big believer in the Ramban, that a robot of the Maisa is not acceptable, could it be possibly suggested that it's not acceptable on what level? Only on a level, the Rabbana. Maybe Minatayr is a good Rabbana. Maybe the institution of Rabbah Tal B'maisa Taka doesn't exist in Minatayr. No such thing. Minatayr, it's a Rabbah Tal. Minatayr, you ask the statistician. Statisticians are Kapaskin 80%. It's all Zayn. It's Tal B'maisa, Nish Tal B'maisa. Who cares? If the statistics are in your favor, it's good. What's the problem? Maybe for some deep dark secret, we don't know yet why, Chazal instituted that a rov hatar b'maisa should not be good. Now, textually, that would be a really good approach. I'll tell you why. What would make me happy with that approach? Why would I be satisfied with that approach? Going back to the Gemara B'chayrus. Is there like a Mishnah Mufreshes that rov hatar b'maisa is no good? It's B'chayrus Rav and Ravina. So it could be that the B'chayrus Rav and Ravina is not so basic. It's not so fundamental. Minat Torah, both Rav and Ravina agreed is a good row. Why? Because the statistician that's Kapaskin, it's good. Where's Barak? Is still in this year? Barak, you still with us? What? Graduated already. Where's his brother? Yeah, I see a brother. Okay, I see you down on the bottom. And you're in a battleship, you're in A4 over there, box A4, okay? So, come on, guys. We'll get with the program here. Somebody told me that if you ask somebody who lives in Flatbush where they live, so they'll say to you, J and 12th. The other going to say M and 14th. It's like playing battleship. So Rabbi say, one can argue, Min HaTorah, you follow the statisticians. Min Daraisa, not the right, you have a right, nothing to worry about. But the Rabbanon, for some deep, dark secret, which we maybe will never understand, and maybe we will, Ravina claims that Chazal did away with the Rabbah Tolbim. I said, that's Pshat Mishnah B'chayrus. And Rabbah says there never was such a din the Rabbanon. So that would be a very, very toned-down, watered-down version of the inefficiency of Rabbah Tolbim. If that would be true, that would be extremely helpful for the Adavram and the Taz, and quite frankly, for Pesachim Tav Daled. Why would that approach be very, very helpful? Because we have the general, Netiyah in Halacha, that when you start piling up the Rabbanans, things change. We have a concept in Halacha of Shabbos, Shvus to Shvus. It's only the Rabbanan for one reason, and it's only the Rabbanan for a second reason. Two Rabbanans, that's already Mokal. We even have it in the realm of Mitzvahs. Taisa has the famous Shita Megillah, or the trade Rabbanan. If I'm chayiv in a mitzvah for two derabbanan reasons and you're chayiv for one derabbanan reason, that's a different level of chiyuv. So we have gezeiros. The gezeiros, there's a whole literature out there in halacha about when you start to pile up one derabbanan top another derabbanan, that leads us to believe that a double derabbanan is more lenient than a single derabbanan. Now again, it's not an absolute statement. It doesn't mean just collect derabbanans and then call it a green light. Not necessarily. But there definitely is this principle in halacha that when you have a few derabbanans combined together, that is a lower level of concern. Could that be the rationale behind the Adavram, behind the Taz, behind the Agamar himself? If the whole institution of a Rov HaTorah B'Maisa itself is only a Chumah Midirabbanan, Min HaTorah, Rov HaTorah B'Maisa are good Rovs, but itself, it's a Chumah Midirabbanan for some deep dark secret not yet determined. If you throw that Chumah Midirabbanan on top of a Din Midirabbanan anyway, we're only dealing with the Nisad Rabbanon. We're only dealing with the B'dikas Chometz Rabbanon. We're only dealing with the Dam Shebishlam Rabbanon. Could one argue that to invoke a Rov HaTolib B'Maisa on something which itself was only Rabbanon anyway, that's like a shtickle trade Rabbanon Lo Aminan. Now again, trade Rabbanon Lo Aminan is not a perfect rule. It's not an absolute, but it definitely has its sources in Halacha. Definitely our precedents in Halacha for piling on their Rabbanons together to making things becoming more mutter. So if you take the approach that a rov HaTolib B'Maisa is not a rov finished, the Gam Midaraisa, it falls short, this is not called a rov, so it's much harder to believe. Well, if it's not a rov, so then why should it work for Derabbanan? Because Tikkun Rabbanan can't Derisa Tikkun. If you need a rov, for whatever reason, something Derabbanan is not cool, it's not going to help you. For whatever deep dark secret, that's true. So if you're looking for a rove, so look for a halachic rove. If you're telling me that a rove without a mice is not a halachic rove, it's not a halachic rove. It's not going to work for the rice, it's not going to work for the rabbanon. But if you're willing to hide behind this idea of the Ed of Ram, that maybe, Robatoli Mimaises is not really a deficiency in a Torah, it's only a Chumim Midrabanan, so that would explain conceptually why vis-a-vis Dirim Midrabanan we're going to be a little bit more lax. So we have a working pshat in the making. Again, most important for Pesach of Dav Dalet. It's also very handy for the Taz in your day and sitting Sabbath Esnachs Malicha. But again, it's working with an assumption. And the assumption is that Ravina's grandiose breakthrough of Rov HaTonah B'Maisa not being acceptable is only not acceptable on a level of the Rabbanan. And that really needs some clarification. If that statement is true, we can dig up some source in Gemara and Mishnayim that will confirm this hypothesis of us, then we're going to be very, very happy. If not, we're not going to be as happy. So we have a suggestion here. The suggestion is, the deficiency of Rov HaTonah B'Maisa is only a deficiency of the Rabbanan. Now, granted, I don't know why Chazal made up that Issa D'Rabbanan. I know why Chazal made up Muktzu, why they made up Bishalakam, why they made up Neres Chanakata. I don't know why some Beis Din Gadol decided one fine day to institute Rov HaTonah B'Maisa not being a good Rov. Maybe we'll find out why the sugya continues. But if we could prove somehow that theory is correct, and then combine that with the Taz and the Gemara Pesachim, so we have a working shot now as to why sometimes Rov HaTonah B'Maisa will be acceptable if the area in halacha is only an issur d'rabbanan to start with. So that's kind of the direction we're going. We've changed the tone of the sugya now. We want to answer this. This is our one question now. Do we have a source or do we not have a source for the idea of Rov HaTonah B'Maisa being inefficient on a level of d'oraisa or on a level of d'rabbanan? Yeah.
Is the Ramban fully arrived for this?
You better believe it's arrived for it. That's why it's on the memory card. So if I say, in order to understand the Ramban Chu, you have to understand the Gemara Chu that the Ramban's coming off of. So this is a throwback to yesterday, Shir. We mentioned yesterday, Minah Hamil Sadem Rabbanan Zubas Aruba. What's the source that you follow, Rav? Famous Gemara Chu. So let's walk through the Shaka Tai ourselves for a moment. What was the Gemara's answer? Minah Hamil Sadem Rabbanan Zubas Aruba. What does the Gemara say? Rama. Ha Tainach, no Ha Nicha, what? Let's walk it through, Gemara. Ha Nicha. Ruben the Issa, come on. Ruben the Leisa, come on, Minani Mile, right? So I told you, it's like I cheated. I read the last page of the book. I missed the whole 25 chapters in between. I told you at the end, Rashi says, either it's derived from Rechamad, or it's Alachor Sinai. But in the middle, the Gemara tried so many fascinating attempts. Each one is a world in and of itself. We're going to pick on one. Rav Murray's source. Rav Murray, the Halakha guy, my Rav Murray decided that he is going to find in the Chumash itself, in the world Teshuv Chsav, the institution of Ruben Deleisa Kabbalah. It could be that this Gemara is almost a throwback to what the Rambam writes, and we spoke about many times in the past in the Satamat Beresh Mishnayos, that very often we find in the Teshuv Apeh there were pre-existing traditions that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Sometimes the pre-existing traditions were given to Moshe Rabbeinu with the express information that don't waste your time looking for the Teshuv Chsav. There is no source for the Teshuv Chsav. Do not try to spend time finding a source for the fact that children have to be square in Teshuv Chsav. Says the Rambam, you are absolutely wasting your time. Do not try to find a source for the din of Deifen Akum and Asukah, that if you have blessed Dar Amos, Sach Apostle against the wall, you can make believe the wall bends over. Do not waste your time. That's not the little tire of the highest degree. Maybe not the highest degree, second highest. You're wasting your time. Why? Al Zenemar Halacha Lemaisha Bisina Zakti Ramam. When the Gemara says those three words, Halacha Mashem Sina, it does not just mean it was transmitted from Meshem Ben and Har Sina. That's not all it means. What it means is it was transmitted in a manner that there is no source, no remez, no hint, no allusion to Teshuv Chsav for this halacha. And don't even waste your time trying. Then the Rambam says, there was a whole other part of transmissions to Moshe Rabbeinu that were not halacha l'moshe m'sinais of that terminology. They were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, but they were given to Moshe Rabbeinu with the understanding that you could recreate the halacha even if you weren't aware of that tradition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chachmosai put certain Tarshim HaPez into the Tarshim HaKsav. And if you really truly know how to interpret Tarshim HaKsav properly, you can actually recreate the Messiah from the text of the Tarshim HaKsav itself. You have to know how to do it, and you need a lot of creativity, a lot of Ruach HaKadosh to be able to do that properly. But you could do it. So the Rambam actually gives us an example of this. The fact that an Esrog is an Esrog. The fact that an Esrog is an Esrog, all of a sudden it comes to the Gemara in the third Bekel and says, how do you know an Esrog is that? Maybe it's an apple, maybe it's a banana. He says, no, creates Hadar, this, Hadar Be'elana, Mishana Lashana, this, Rosh and Atra, Eitz Apir Shavin, Hadar is a Lashan Mayim, Hydra in Greek, Mahalchim, 15 different Gemaras, that an Esrog is an Esrog. Says the Rambam. Until the Hilig Yitanoim sat down and wrote Masechah Sukkah in the third parak, so people were taking apples and bananas? Says the Rambam, it's kafira. You know why I take an Esrog? Because my father took an Esrog. You know, because his grandfather took an Esrog. Because his Rebbe took an Esrog. From the days of my Shabbeinu, we always know it was an Esrog. No one ever, from the days of my Shabbeinu till Tavshin Pe'al of Sukkahs, nobody ever walked into the shul saying, I think it's an apple. Says the Rambam, it was Tarshim HaPeh from day one. But that's not Halacha Mashlina, says the Rambam. Because that Tarshim HaPeh was Nimsat to Mashiach Rabbeinu, that there's a way to derive it within the Pesukim itself. And now, different Tanoim had different ways of deriving it. We're going to see this a little bit later on. Hey, Achmi Yom Rishon Tashbis Sob Rotechem. How do you know Yom Rishon means Yom Rishon? The same idea. This theory of the Rambam. The Rambam gives two, three examples of this, but this is something that's throughout Shas, this idea. So the Chari, that's what's playing out in the beginning of Chulun also. We know there's a din of Ruben Delisa. What? Tanoim woke up one day and said, gee, by God, let's talk about Ruben Delisa. Come on. We've been living our lives with Ruben Delisa. Come on. From the days of Moshe Rabbeinu on. Rabbi Hayman said to Travis, if you don't accept Ruben Delisa, come on, you can never drink milk. All milk is a suffix Travis. You can never eat meat without checking from head to toe. Nobody ever did these things. The days of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Hilig Tanoim, the Hilig Neviim, Tachikas Gedoyla, Yeshua Bina, nobody ever opened up an animal and checked it at the toe. We never heard of people not drinking milk because of a suffix crisis. So comes Yahweh and says, we know there's a Ruv Delaysa Kaban. We're not questioning. What's the Lashna Gemara? Minoha Milsa Diyam Rabbanan Zubas Ruvah. How did the rabbis know? What would the derivation be in the text? So the Gemara clearly was assuming that this halach is true, but it was nimsa to Moshe Rabbeinu in a manner that it has grounding in Tarshim HaKsav. And let's find that grounding. Let's find that pasuk. So different Amoraim came up with fascinating, creative ways. It's learned out from here, it's learned out from here. Every single one, the Gemara says, no, that's not a good one. Even though the halach exists and the pasuk is simply being brought as a recreation, the pasuk has to stand the test of drashas, and the drash has to be real. And if the drasha can be refuted, then that is not what the Rebbeinu Shlomo wrote in his Chochmas HaTorah. If the Rebbeinu Shlomo put into the Torah Kedesh HaTeshim Tavim Shivas Nafesh a mokor to recreate a Messiah, then it's got to be accurate. It's got to be 100% irrefutable. And the Gemara asks that each one of the different drashas of each Amira, kasha, kasha, kasha. And then the Gemara finally concludes, we don't have a mokor. Now what? Now where do you go? So that's where the 2 days in Rashi part ways. One day in Rashi says, the real emes of mokor, where was the real mokor in Torah Shemachsav for Ruben Delaysa? Come on, where was the real mokor? Acharam Lahatas. The real mokor in Torah Shemachsav is Acharam Lahatas. The Aydi Shalom is at Rashi, the Gemara made an about face. And the Gemara all along thought it was part of it was in Torah Shebichsav, and now the Gemara realized, guess what? It's not part of Torah Shebichsav, Dika Torah Shebapeh. It's like square tefillah, it's like Dafin Akuma, it's pure Torah Shebapeh, it's Alach Mosh Sinai, and therefore we don't have a pasuk. And the Gemara had an about face, the Gemara changed and said, this is not that type of Torah Shebapeh. And therefore, don't waste your time finding the curse, because quite frankly, all the curse that you give were not acceptable. None of them were proof positive. They were all full of holes. So the real mokka for Ruben Delaysa, come on, is nothing more than Halacha Moshe Sinai. Nothing more, nothing less than Halacha Moshe Sinai. This idea you can have different aspects of Teshuva Peh. Some of them are rooted in Teshuva Chsav, and some are just pure Teshuva Peh. And the Gemara actually changed course in the middle, according to one day in Rashi. So this also appears in the Gemara. The Gemara at the very end of Maseches Nida has a machlekes of Tanaim about a certain prat in Hukas Nida, what the source for the din is. Is it halach mashasina, or is it based on sukkim? So nobody argued with the din. It's not like from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu on, people had a different... Everyone knows that the din was called Yudal Fiyom Shabbat Nida. Everybody knows the basic structure of Yimei Nida, Yimei Ziva. Those were given them. This has been practiced for 3,000 years. For us, we haven't practiced anymore because Midr Rabban did away with all of it. They threw some chumas at us because every woman is a suffering zavah today. But in theory, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu to the days of Yudan Nasi, so every Jewish woman knew there's this Zayin Menida, Sira Fiyom Shabbat Lanida. These are the ABCs of Judaism. Where did it come from? Machlek Zetanan. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, it's Toshiba Petz, Halach Mashiach, don't even look for a source. Kach Nimsi Ishu Pishad Meshach Beinu. It's like Dofer Akuma, don't even look for a source. And Rabbi Kiva said, no. Rabbi Kiva says, if you look carefully, the Pesukim, you'll find it. And Rabbi Kiva showed you, it's a Vav, it's an S, it's a this, it's a whole Chag Yadu. So you can even have a Machlek Zetanayim about a certain Prat of Toshiba Petz. Is that Prat part of Category 1? A part of category two. Well, like Lamash Lagmar in Sukkah, a little post in Yana Diyama. The Gemara's Machlekes Tanan, beginning of Sukkah, how do you know that mechitzas of a Sukkah and for an Erev have to be 10 Tvachim? Where'd that Shia come from? So the Gemara has one Tana that says it's based on Sukkim. The Shia of Schach, the size of the Yaron, size of the Kapiris, the two lot long hole, long of Megillah, beginning of Sukkah, to show you that the Shia mechitzas 10 Tvachim. And the other Tana says, no, it's not based on that. The numbers don't add up, the Drasha doesn't add up, the math is wrong. What's the makom for 10 tvachim? What does the other Tana say? Mechitzas halach mashem sinai. And the other Tana says no. Mechitzas halach mashem sinai means defin akum is halach mashem sinai. Love is halach mashem sinai. But not necessarily 10 tvachim. 10 tvachim is tachah based on a pasuk. So when all the dust settles, it is very possible that you have nuances and you have differences within a particular statement of Teshuvah Peh that we can't quite pin down which chelek of Teshuvah Peh is it part of. We're not quite sure which chelek of Teshuvah Peh is part of. So it's not so surprising that of a second chulun, the Gemara made an about face, according to Rashi. The Gemara thought it was one way, and then the Gemara backtracks. So with that introduction, let's go now to Rav Mari. Rav Mari had one of the most creative of all the sources. When the Gemara thought, at least at one stage, that there is some kind of a source in Chumash for Ruv de Leitzik Amon. Comes the Gemara in the 7th of the Ramakas, Rav Mori Omar, Asya Mimake Ovi V'imoy to Amr Rachman HaKatle. There's a parashah in the Torah, Mak Ovi V'imoy, a person wounds, causes the chavala on his parent. Chayav Misa, v'leichas dumal avavivu. How do you know he's the father? How do you know? The mother, we know. We saw this baby came out of the mother 20 years ago, so we know it's the mother. How do you know it's the father? Elam yishuv derbidin zilbasaruv of Rabbi Yisachar Bal. The only way to say that he's the father, the robe, he's the father. Most likely, it's the father. Most married women are more likely to be with the husband than with somebody else. So the robe is, that's probably the father. Do you know for certain? No. Robi l'zachar bal. So it's interesting because the Gemara ultimately rejects this. The Gemara says that maybe it's not true. Maybe you could have a situation where we know with absolute 1,000,000% chance that it's the father. Maybe that's the only parsha mach av avimoy. Maybe in a chinami. Maybe when the Torah says mach av avimoy, most humans, it's only talking about a very, very unique case. What would the case be? How would you know? Kosher chovish b'veis asurim. The father and the mother, the supposed father and the mother, are in jail together. There's nobody else there. So maybe that's the case that Tarly says, no, that's not a good case. Not necessarily. Why? Maybe the guard was Mizanah. The Gemara takes apart the nitty gritty to show you, is this a good Raya? Not a good Raya? Yeah, good Raya. Nish good Raya. So we're not going to go through the nitty gritty right now. Suffice it to say, Rav Mori thought that the parasha Makom of Imo is a potentially valid source for the idea of Ruben Deleisa come on. Because after all, the fact that Rav Bilas HaKarbal, it's not Ruben Deleisa come on, those are not stores, that's a statistical probability. We made a study And we realize we didn't make a formal study, but we look around the world. The same way we look around the world and we see that most animals aren't dropping dead of dreifus. Most women are giving birth not at 7 months. Most married women are more likely with the husbands than with somebody else. But it's only a roi. It's a ruv d'leisa. Come on. Comes the Ramban in the 8th of the Ramban, comes the following kasha. Yikid the kasha lay. B'chayra stuff you test all of a sudden. And what does the Gemara say in B'chayra stuff you test? Rov atolib b'mai says Mishkin roi. Frech Ramban in the bottom of the line of Hachanami. Amayas lina basa rabbi loisa d'bal harum talim amayisa hu. No, what's the kasha for Ramban? This is not a good robe altogether. This is b'chol not a good robe. It's a robe talib amayisa. That was the Ramban's kasha. It's a robe talib amayisa. So before we go on to see what the Ramban's answer to that question is, which is going to really set the stage for us, do you think that's a good kasha? Do you even think it's a good kasha? Is this a robe talib amayisa? Think back to yesterday. Husbands and wives together. Is that a robot of Maisa? What? According to Tosfos, that's not a robot of Maisa, because that's natural. That's in the main law. According to Tosfos, mating animals is a robot of Maisa, not husbands and wives together. This Ramban, Rabbi say, is Lashitosai. You remember the Ramban in Yevamos Kufyates? What did the Ramban say? The Ramban said, why in the end of the day was that woman not allowed to get remarried? What happened to the rabbi? Dr. Ramban, it's a robot of Maisa, because how do you know that the wife, the co-wife, and the dead husband had a child? How do you know they had beer together? How do you know? It's a robot of Maisa. So that Ramban, back in Yevamos, the Kufya Tesim yesterday, that called husband and wives being together a robot of Maisa, is now the Shitosa in Chul in the first parak, posing the question, presenting the challenge, isn't this a robot of Maisa? Therefore, what's for a roiv? How is this a good roiv? When you read this Ramban, when you read the Ramban in Chulun, did you realize right away it's Lashitos and Yevomus? Good. And you run right on target. Rabbi said, what else can we be dying from the Ramban's Kasha? We don't know what the Teretz is yet. What can we be dying from the Ramban's Kasha? Clearly, he was of the opinion that Rabatoli ben Maisa being not acceptable is a Din Deraisa. Because we are in the world of Deraisas. We're in the realm of Deraisas here. We're dashing Psukim. We're trying to derive Din Deraisa. We're trying to refute proofs on the level of Deraisa. How in the world can you invoke a principle that's only valid mid the Rabbanon into a discussion of a Din Deraisa? So it is clear, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the Ramban's very question is assuming that Rov Atalib Maisa falls short on a love of Deraisa. If it was only mid the Rabbanon, he never ever would have presented such a question. This does not bode well for our Sugya, Rabbi Zay. Because let's not forget what we are trying to accomplish. What was our goal, Rabbi said? What were we trying to accomplish? Who remembers? We were trying to show that Rav Talib Mai said, Shmeh, it's only a chisar mid the Rabbanon, and therefore by dirim the Rabbanon, such as Belich, by B'dikas Chometz, we can look the other way. That was the thrust of the Yad Avram's Mahalach. That was the thrust of the Taz. That was the thrust of Sachat Adal. That's what we were trying to accomplish. So we went to the laboratory of Shas, and we showed him to try to find somebody who says something about this topic. Is the deficiency of Rav Talib Maisa Deraisa Derabanan? And lo and behold, we found the Ramban who says that's deficient mid Deraisa. It does not bode well for us, Rabbi Zay. Don't give up. It's a quote from John Paul Jones. We've not yet begun to fight. We still got work to do. But before we get to the dissenting view, we have to give the Ramban time. The Hilig Ramban asked the Kasha, let's see what his teretz is. Lishitosa, in the world view of the Ramban, in the mind of the Heiliger Ramban, could you imagine to have this chus to go into the mindset of the Ramban, thinking in the terms of the Ramban? The Ramban kola terakula, bebe nigla, bebe nista, tachas yaday. And he quotes me at the kasha lay. There was something shenim about him at this kasha. How did the Ramban deflect? How did he respond to this kasha? Zok devilav milsi klaus of the Ramban. The kasha is not even the beginning of a kasha. Notice he does not say it's not the beginning of a kasha because Rav Talib Maisa is only a problem with the Rabbanon. He does not say that. He does not argue with that premise of the Ika de Kasha. So the Rabban is not helping us, but he is unraveling the question in its entirety. V'lav milsi klal. Why? T'chilay azlinam basa ruba de Talib Maisa hanimilik shemi'uta lo Talib Maisa. Kihosam. Rabbi Tal B'Maisa means as follows, like the Gemara in Bechayrus. We're trying to determine, did this animal mate to become pregnant or not? If it mated, that's a Maisa. If it didn't mate, that's a lack of a Maisa. Rove is, it probably mated. Miut is, it didn't mate. That's what Rabbi Tal B'Maisa. When to invoke the rove, you must insist that a Maisa happened. That's the chisor, that's the deficiency of Rabbi Tal B'Maisa. If you're willing to fall back in the miyot, then you're comfortable sighing in relief and saying, nothing happened, no mice happened. When you have a rove, hatolib b'maisa, versus the miyot she'ina tolib b'maisa, that is the chisorum. That's the deficiency of rove tolib b'maisa. Or in the case of Yivamis, the rove is the couple were together and she came pregnant and had a baby. The miyot is nothing happened. That's a rove tolib b'maisa, a miyot she'ina tolib b'maisa. The halacha prefers to follow the miut rather than the rove. But if both the rove and the miut require that a maisa happened, mehecha teisa, you should follow the miut over the rove. Rav Mari, we know this baby was born. Somebody was born as Isha. We just don't know who it was. We don't know, was it the husband or was somebody else? A maisa beer happened. That is not a discussion. There is no other option here. So a maisa biyah happened. We are scratching our heads to figure out, was it the rave that it was the husband, Rabbi Yochanan Abao, or is it possible, the offset, off chance that it was somebody else? Alzeh lo nemar, Dr. Ramban, Rabbi Tal B'Maisa not being a rave. Of course that's a rave. The deficiency of Rabbi Tal B'Maisa is only when the meal can be attributed to a lack of a maisa. Why should that be so? Comes Ramban with the breakthrough of breakthroughs. Comes Ramban and says, "Dechila yazlina and basarubi the talib b'maisa anamik shemiyat lo talib b'maisa ki yasam mishum the milsa the asya memeila shchiach." In those four words, Ramban just showed you the entire side of our sugya. What did Ramban just say? Milsa the asya memeila shchiach. What does that mean? Called inertia. Close to chazal. Things tend not to happen. Things remain, I don't want to say chazoko, I don't want to say status quo, but you know what I mean, Jeremy. If you have to decide, did something happen or not, most likely, it probably didn't. Did you clean your room? Probably not. Did you do your homework? Probably not. Did you daven shachris yet? Hopefully yes, but probably not. Life tends, the world is a kind of a static place. You got to get to get up and go to change things. And therefore, when you have a robe of Tali B'Maisa, you know what you really have? You have a counterbalance of what? What's counterbalancing the rove that the mice happened? The rove that probably nothing happened. Because milsa d'asya memeila shchiach. And therefore, when you have to paskin, rove animals become pregnant. But guess what? Most of the time, nobody bothered mating the animals. You now have a clash in roves. And you know what happens when you have a clash in rove? They cancel each other out. Ois rove. That is the reason why Rabbi Tal B'Maisa is deficient. And that's a svar midaraisa, says the Ramban. Therein lies the problem. That is the chisar, and that is the deficiency of Rabbi Tal B'Maisa. Is that another rove? Because there's another rove counterbalancing it. And knocking it out of the box. And now you're left with zero. Those are the words. Who realized that these are the four most important words in the entire Ramban? The Milsa D'Asim Emel Shechich. Zakt Ramban, what did I just explain to you? That a rove, a Tal B'Maisa, has that counterbalance of a miut, the Memela, of Alhecha, the Memut, the Navitai B'Maisa, Kiyocha. Then the Ramban's theory is perfect. If the miut also requires a Maisa, Namely, somebody was born this woman, we just don't know which one, who was it? When both the Rav and the Miyot are told by Maisa, Shavim, the Akochach Barov Amotzi, Akochach Rav Motzi, Vochan Acharov. So then there's nothing to counterbalance it. Because the Lavach, you have to say that a Maisa happened. So which Maisa happened? Did the Maisa of Bia of the husband happen? Or the Maisa Bia of somebody else happened? The answer is the Rov Bia of Zacharbal. Of course the Rov of the husband happened. Who saw this break to the Ramban? This Ramban is worth billions. You can't even believe him. You can't even put value on these words of the Ramban. But a Yitzvah Devarim, by saying, as gewaltig as insightful as this Ramban is, and how stark he is to deflect the Yesh Aimim, the Ika the Kashaway, the Ramban said, Lav Milsi Klau. He was so convinced that the Kasha of the other Rishonim was null and void. But notice once again, the Ramban did not undermine the very basic premise of the Kasha of the other Rishonim. And the Ramban never said, oh, by the way, the Ruba, Rabbi told him, is only a Durabban Dikar problem. He never said that. The Ramban bought into the premise of the other Rishonim. It's not a deficiency in Deraisa. And if Bein Lefer Yesh, even in the Ramban, Bein Lefer Ramban Gufa, that in fact it is an insufficient role of Deraisa, it's going to be a much harder sell the Adavram Shtukul Torah in the Taz, and for Apple, this is the Adavram Shtukul Torah in the Gemara Pesachim. Because once you told me that a rov told me Maisa is talking out a rov, the Ramban blew it out of the water. It's not a rov. So back to square one. It's not a rov mideraisa. So vusvach cheskasim baduch. How could the Gemara call the cheskasim baduch? Cheskasim baduch because the rov told me Maisa. Rov told me Maisa. It's no good. It's nishkin rov. So even if the facts are right, we don't even know whether the facts are right. But how could the Gemara raise the question? Ibaylu cheskasim baduch. Cheskasim baduch. Even Zalzai, the statisticians, we report back to Cheskas HaBaduk, it's still going to fall short. Because counteracting that robe is the robe that things tend not to happen. People are outright lazy. Nothing really happens. Nothing changes in the world. The Rabbi said, we're back to square one. We're trying to understand Agamah. I don't the Taz. The only way we could do it is if we found a Rishon that says that Rabbi told the Rabbi is only a problem in the Rabbanon, but we have failed miserably. Until now. There's more to talk about. So hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow, we'll discover what perhaps other Mishnah has to say about this topic. And we'll come back to Gemara Masechet Pesachim and maybe go down a slightly different route. And maybe give a little bit of a bigger picture of Rav Tovah Ben Maisa versus Dar Rav Tovah Ben Maisa, Cheskas HaBos, Zachar Rav Baldo. So we still have a lot of work to do to final touch on this. So hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem will be able to finish that up tomorrow. Okay.
This Ramban, the
Ramban,
the
Ramban
is
the polar
opposite of
Tosos.
The Tosos is
the Darshan
Melo by
Benedict.
He
said,
no, it's not. It's even
not Chazaka
that
Rokas.
That's not
going to
happen.
Yeah.
Even by
Malik,
like.
Yeah. The Ramban is the biggest believer in Rabbi Tovah Ben Maisa being no good, and he gave you a real Svam in there. Okay, good. All right. We should have a good day. Let's see everyone tomorrow.
Thank you, Rabbi.